Disclaimer.
You must not rely on information on our website or broadcast it as an alternative to medical advice from your doctor or other professional healthcare provider. If you have any specific questions about any medical matter, you should consult your doctor or other professional healthcare provider. If you think you may be suffering from any medical condition, you should seek immediate medical attention. You should never delay seeking medical advice, disregard medical advice, or discontinue medical treatment because of the information on our website or that which has been broadcasted by us. Welcome to Inside Health. My name is Elham Fakhri, the presenter for this show. And as always, we're going to have another interesting discussion around health-related topics. Now, firstly, my apologies to all the listeners for not being or airing a show in roughly 3 weeks' time. And this is our first live show in 3 weeks because of other commitments for the radio station. We had the Eid Festival, Summer Festival. And after that, we had another live show here for Eid, as well as there was personal commitments. I was on leave in another country, so I wasn't able to contribute to a live show. However, we are back, and I'll be able to discuss further health-related topics on this show. So, as usual, today we will discuss briefly a little bit about some news which has been out there within Afghanistan as well as here in the UK. And following that, because today we started the show 10 minutes later than usual, I'll give 10 tips for different cases. So I'll have 10 stress busters, 10 tips for stress relief. I'll give 10 tips to beat insomnia. I'll give 10 ways to reduce cancer risk and 10 medical reasons, 10 medical reasons for feeling tired, 10 health benefits for stop smoking, and finally I'll discuss a little bit about 10 dental health myths which has been out there and some facts around that. So starting off, let's discuss about some great news in Afghanistan. So Kabul surgeons have successfully separated conjoined twins, and this kind of surgery has been done for the first time in Afghanistan. Afghan doctors at the French Medical Institute of Children have successfully separated 15-day-old conjoined twin girls in Kabul, the first time that such surgery has been carried out in Afghanistan. The head of surgery at the French Medical Institute of Children, Jalil Wardak, said that the babies were transferred from northeastern Badakhshan province to the hospitals recently in preparation for the surgery. He said they had been joined at the abdomen. The twins are from a poor and vulnerable family and were able to travel to Kabul and undergo the surgery through the help of a charity organization. Now, doctors of Faizabad Hospital in Badakhshan helped transfer the newborn babies to Kabul, and they underwent the operation with the help of hospital's charity unit. The chief surgeon who did the rare operation was assisted by a number of colleagues and said the babies were attached to the abdomen, digestive system, and they shared a number of arteries and veins, but the operation was successful and the shared organs were separated. Wardak, the chief surgeon, said, "During the operations, we found that they were attached in the lower parts of the small and large intestines. We were successful in separating their intestines and dividing them between the two babies equally," he added. Meanwhile, the father of the baby girls, Haidar Ahmad, said he didn't believe that his babies could be separated from each other and survive. He also mentioned that they had no hope that they'll remain alive. But when they came there, the doctor's operations was successful, and now the baby girls are alive and are separated from each other, he said. So conjoined twins are rare in the world. There are one or two conjoined twins in 10,000 births of twins. And this is the first time that conjoined twins underwent such surgery in the country of Afghanistan. Now, here's just a little clip from Tolo News, who described the situation a bit more in detail and described the surgeons as well as the father of the twins in Adari.
این بار پزشکان شفاخانه انستیتیوت پزشکی فرانسه برای کودکان یک عملیات شگفتی انگیز را انجام دادند و آینده دو کودک به هم چسبیده را روشن ساختند. این دو کودک به هم چسبیده از ولایت بدخشان به کمک پزشکان شفاخانه فیض‌آباد به این شفاخانه آورده شدند.
همکارای ما در شفاخانه فیض‌آباد، همسرکای ما، اینا خودشان تدابیر گرفتن تا این خانواده را به کابل بفرستن و هم در اینجا مؤسسه دیگه همکار ما وعده کردن که در قسمت نگهداری فامیل و پس دوباره فرستادن اینا اونا کمک میکنن و شفاخانه FMIC تعهد کرد که در قسمت مخارج یا هزینه ای عملیات از طریق صندوق خیریه سهم بگیره.
پزشکی که این کودکان را با همکارانش جرایی کرده است میگوید که این کودکان از نایه شکم به هم چسبیده بودند. روده ها، مقعد و نیز برخی از شیریان ها و ورید ها مشترک بودند. جراحان این شفاخانه توانستند که اعضای مشترک این کودکان را به گونه
So that was a brief introduction, not introduction, a brief interview of the surgeons in Afghanistan describing the situation described by Tolo News. At the moment, we are having a slight technical issue, and as soon as we are able to fix it, I'll be right back in regards to that. But as I mentioned today, we'll discuss a few different topics, mainly surrounding, I'll basically provide tips, which are general tips of how to combat different situations, and there's going to be 10 tips for each situation, 10 for stress relief, 10 for insomnia, and a few ways of how to lower your risks of cancer and a variety of other things. But in the meantime, we'll take a short break because there's a bit of technical issues, and we'll be right back. Hi guys, once again, apologies for the little technical issues that we had here at the studio. However, everything is fixed and we're back on track. Back on the story in regards to the conjoined twins, it's a very successful and means a lot to the healthcare in Afghanistan to see such an advancement. And the surgery, as I mentioned, was a very difficult surgery, and to be able to carry that out, we pride in ourselves for having such amazing doctors who could carry such a complicated surgery in Afghanistan. However, back in UK, there has been a Home Office to issue a mental health disclosure advice. So new guidelines will list factors that must be considered before people's mental health crises are disclosed to employers in background checks. Police will have to examine issues such as how long ago the Attention Order, the Mental Health Act, occurred when assessing whether it's disclosed. The advice covers disclosure and borrowing service, formerly known as CRB checks. The Home Office Minister Karen Bradley said the guidelines aim to make the system fair without lessening protection. It is important that checks provide employers with information they need to protect children and vulnerable groups. At the same time, police disclosure of information relating to mental health can have a significant impact on the lives of those concerned, including their employment opportunities. The Home Office said that the new guidance, which will be issued on Monday, states that detention under the Mental Health Act, which does not constitute a criminal investigation, is unlikely in itself to be sufficient to justify disclosure. The behavior of the person during the incident must be a key consideration when considering checks. This could include assessing whether the person presented a risk of harm to others or whether they were involved in multiple incidents. The date of the mental ill health episode is an important factor. In cases where it took place a long time ago, officers should consider giving the applicant an opportunity to make representations about their current state of health. If information is disclosed, the certificate should provide an explanation so the employer or voluntary organization understands the relevance of the information to the application. Community and Social Care Minister Alastair Burt said the changes will help prevent people being stigmatized as they attempt to find work or volunteering opportunities. He said having a mental health is not a crime. Your medical history wouldn't be flagged to your employer, so it's right that we make the same true for someone who's had mental health crisis. Paul Former, chief executive of mental health charity Mind, welcomed the move. He said there is no reason why having a mental health problem or having been previously detained under the Mental Health Act should necessarily be a red flag when it comes to DPS checks. Now, this change or this new guidance means quite a lot to people who have mental health in terms of employment-wise. And the way that's being dealt with at the moment, I think it's very, very well laid out for everyone, and some more fairer approach for everyone as well. On another news, there's some talks about hand washing, which would help reduce infections. Now, this has obviously been mentioned a lot, and it's become a norm and common sense to wash your hands as regularly as possible. However, a web-based program encouraging people to wash their hands more frequently has shown that they could reduce a risk of catching and passing on infections. And researchers are writing in The Lancet tested it on around 16,000 households in the UK during the winter flu season. They found a 14% reduction in general risk of infection and 20% lower risk of catching flu in those who used it. This group also visited their GP less and needed fewer antibiotics. Most people wash their hands 5 or 6 times a day, but Professor Paul Little from the University of Southampton, who led the research, said that that could be increased to 10 times a day. It would have an important effect on reducing the spread of bugs and infections. Previous research has shown that infections in adults could be prevented if they wash their hands more often and reduce their viral load. This would be of particular benefit to people who do not wish to catch flu, for instance, such as those with heart or lung problems or the elderly. And finally, on one of the most interesting stories of the week that I've heard, there's the dogs that can help to detect prostate cancer. Prostate cancer is one of the most common type of cancers found in men, with over 100 people diagnosed every day. However, current tests to identify it are highly inaccurate, giving false positives and leading to unnecessarily and painful operations. Now, in the first clinical trial in Britain, specially trained dogs will be used to see whether the cancer can be detected more effectively. Claire Guest co-founded Medical Detection Dogs, the charity which is running the trial. She said the dogs can pick up changes in scent that could lead to a cancer diagnosis. Now, this is one of the most interesting and probably if works to full success, it will be a very good way of detecting prostate cancer specifically because it affects so many people's lives. However, I would like to mention that there are a lot of advancements in the medical field which have been done in terms of diagnosing prostate cancer, and these will be affecting the lives of people who suffer from prostate cancer and how it's diagnosed in the near future. But this is a very well laid out trial for medical dogs. We'll take a short break, and after that I'll come back with 10 stress busters and talk a little bit what's making you stressed and how you can battle those things. And followed by that, I'll also discuss a little bit about ways of beating insomnia, and reasons why you should stop smoking. I'll also talk about a few other bits and pieces, providing 10 detailed tips when possible. We shall take a short break and we'll be back right after.
Cool.
After that short break, let's talk about 10 stress busters. So I have had discussions on stress before, and I have provided little tips in here and there during out the past shows I've done. But let's talk about 10 stress busters, 10 things that you can do to help the level of your stress you're having. So firstly, what's making you stressed? If you're stressed, whether by your job or by something more personal, the first step to feeling better is to identify the cause. The most unhelpful thing you can do is to turn to something unhealthy to help you cope, such as smoking or drinking. In life, there's always a solution to a problem. Not taking control of the situation and doing nothing will only make your problem worse. Being in control of your situation, having a good social network, and adopting a positive outlook will help you deal with that stress environment. So tip number one, be active. I have emphasized this several times, and I'll emphasize it again. If you have a stress-related problem, physical activity can get you in the right state of mind to be able to identify the cause of your stress and find a solution. To deal with stress effectively, you need to feel robust and you need to feel strong mentally. Exercise does that. Exercise won't make your stress disappear, but it will reduce some of the emotional intensity that you're feeling, clearing your thoughts and enabling you to deal with your problems more calmly. Secondly, as I mentioned, take control. There is a solution to any problem. If you remain passive, thinking I can't do anything about my problem, your stress will get worse. That feeling of loss of control is one of the main causes of stress and lack of well-being. The act of taking control is in itself empowering and is a crucial part of finding a solution that satisfies you and not someone else. Third, connect with people. A problem shared is a problem halved, as the saying goes. A good support network of colleagues, friends, and family can ease you work troubles and help you see things in a different way. If you don't connect with people, you won't have support to turn to when you need help. The activities we do with friends helps us relax, and we often have a good laugh with them, which is an excellent stress reliever. Talking things through with a friend will also help you find solutions to your problems, as two brains think better than one, like the other great saying goes. Also have some me time. The UK workforce works the longest hours in Europe. The extra hours in the workplace means that people aren't spending enough time doing the things they really enjoy. We all need to take some time for socializing, relaxation, or exercise. Setting aside a couple of nights a week for some quality me time away from work. By marking those 2 days, it means you won't be tempted to work overtime on those days. Challenge yourself as well. So that's the next step. Setting yourself goals and challenges, whether at work or outside, such as learning a new language or a new sport, helps to build confidence that in turn will help you deal with stress. By constantly challenging yourself, if you're being proactive and taking charge of your life, by continuing to learn, you become more emotionally resilient as a person. It arms you with knowledge and makes you want to do things rather than be passive, such as watching TV all the time. Avoid unhealthy habits. Don't rely on alcohol, smoking, and caffeine as your ways of coping. Men more than women are likely to do this. We call this avoidance behavior. Women are better at seeking support from their social circle. If the reason why you wonder why girls talk so much over the phone or that, and their levels of stress are less, then that's the reason behind it, because men have a wall in front of them, and that ego that they don't want to look weak near their friends or their family circle or to anyone, as a matter of fact, which obviously builds their stress levels a bit more than women, because they're piling everything inside and not letting go of it. Over the long term, these crutches won't solve the problems. They'll just create new ones. It's like putting your head in sand, as I said. So when you have a problem, don't try to take an unhealthy habit of smoking or drinking or just laying on the sofa feeling miserable, try to avoid those. So that was the next tip. And also helping other people. So there's some evidence which shows that people who help others through activities such as volunteering or community work become more resilient. Helping people who are often in situations worse than yourself will help you put your problems into perspective. The more you give, the more resilient and happy you'll feel. If you don't have time to volunteer, try to do someone a favor every day. It can be something as small as helping someone to cross the road or going on a coffee run for colleagues. Favors cost nothing to do and you'll feel so much better. Also, there's the next tip is to work smarter and not harder. Good time management means quality work rather than quantity. Our long hours culture is a well-known cause of workplace illness. You have to get a work-life balance that suits you best. Working smarter means prioritizing your work, concentrating on the tasks that will make a real difference to your work. Leave the least important tasks to last. Accept that your in tray will always be full. Don't expect it to be empty at the end of the day. Also, be positive. So look for the positiveness in life and things for which you're grateful. Write down three things at the end of every day which went well or for which you're grateful for. People don't always appreciate what they have. They try to be glass half full instead of glass half empty. Another great saying. I love these sayings because they put everything into so much perspective. So having a positive attitude, it really does make a huge difference. It can be done. By making conscious effort, you can train yourself to be more positive about life. Problems are often questions of perspective. If you change your perspective, you may see your situation from a more positive point of view. A lot of people think that they are the center of the world and all these problems are on their shoulders, but in fact it isn't and it doesn't work that way. If you have a different view of your lifestyle and if you compare your lifestyle to somebody else's, you might see the major differences between the two. So having that positive outlook is a huge stress reliever in itself. And also accept things that you can't change. A lot of people feel very stressful. They want to make that change, but if that change just literally isn't possible, just accept that fact. Changing a difficult situation isn't always possible, as I mentioned. If this proves to be the case, recognize and accept things as they are and concentrate on everything that you do they have control over. If your company is going under and is making redundancies, there's nothing you can do about it. There's no point fighting it. In such a situation, you need to focus on things that you can control, such as looking for a new job. That's just one example, but keep in mind that if there are things that you can't change, don't focus and don't spend too much of your time on that. However, focus on things that you can change and make a difference through that. So that covers the stress. I hope those who feel stressed at this point know some ways of handling it. Next, let's try to beat insomnia together, because stress and insomnia are the two things which are you see quite a lot in the generation nowadays with the technology advancement and telephones, iPhones, and laptops, and this and that next to the bed, and the workload. All of these things do affect quite a lot in terms of how we sleep. So I'll share some tips in terms of how to beat insomnia. Now, I have had a sleep episode a little while ago, so this will be just a little recap of that, as well as a couple of more tips that I've gained through the last episode. So simple lifestyle changes can make the world of a difference to your quality of sleep. If you keep regular hours, for instance, going to bed and getting up at roughly the same time every day will program your body to sleep better. Choose a time when you're most likely to feel sleepy and choose a time when you need to wake up. So having that regular habit of sleeping at the same time and waking up at the roughly same time every day, I would say take weekends aside from that if you're working during the weekdays, and weekends can be a bit of a sleep in, I would say. But having that regularity will improve a lot in terms of how you sleep. Also, create a restful sleeping environment. Your bedroom should be kept for rest and sleep. Keep it as quiet and dark as possible. It should be neither too hot nor too cold. Temperature, lighting, and noise should be controlled so that the bedroom environment helps you to fall asleep and stay asleep, for that matter. Third, make sure that your bed is comfortable. It is difficult to get a restful sleep on a mattress that's too soft or too hard, or a bed that's too small or too old. If you have a pet that sleeps in the room with you, consider moving it somewhere else if it often makes noise in the night. Exercise regularly. A moderate exercise on a regular basis, such as swimming or walking, can help relieve some of the tension built up over the day. Make sure that you don't do vigorous exercise too close to bedtime, however, as it may keep you awake. So do exercise, but just don't do exercise prior 10 minutes before your bedtime. That's the next tip. And also have less caffeine. Cut down on stimulants such as caffeine in tea or coffee, especially in the evening. They interfere with the process of falling asleep and they prevent deep sleep. The effects of caffeine can last a long time, up to 24 hours. So the chances of it affecting sleep are significant. Instead, have a warm milky drink of herbal tea. So these, I know, are quite general tips, but a lot of people just don't follow them, so which makes it a lot hard for them to fall asleep. These are all well-known facts as well, so there's nothing major scientific here that I'm sharing with people. These are all doable things that everyone can do, which would change their sleep patterns and stress levels for that matter. Don't overindulge on food. Too much food or alcohol, especially late at night, can interrupt your sleep patterns. Alcohol may help you to fall asleep initially, but it will disturb your sleep later on in the night. So just don't overindulge on food just before bedtime. And don't overindulge on food in general. It's quite funny because a little while ago, me and the boys from AVR went for dinner and they were looking at my portions. They were like, for a person who talks so much about food and not overindulging, you do eat quite a lot. And I said, this is my moderate portion. And everyone's moderate portion varies. Don't smoke before time. It's bad for sleep. Smokers take longer to fall asleep. They wake up more frequently and they often have more disrupted sleep as well. And also, I'd like to mention that those who smoke do snore quite a bit as well. So try to relax before going to bed. Have a warm bath, listen to quiet music, or do something, some gentle yoga to relax the mind and calm the body. Write away your worries. I know a lot of people who just lay on a bed, that's their time to think about all the problems that they have in their lives. If you have lots of problems, just try to make a list of it so you don't think about it anymore. Deal with the worries or a heavy workload by making a list of things to be tackled the next day. So that way you'll have a list of things to do the next day, but you won't need to think about it. Oh, how will I do this while you're trying to sleep? And 10, and most importantly, don't worry in bed. If you can't sleep, don't lie there worrying about it. Get up and do something you find relaxing until you feel sleepy again. Then return to bed. Like read a book. Reading a book is quite a common thing that a lot of people do. Next, something I'd like to talk about is 10 dental myths. I'll talk about these myths and I'll share some facts around it. The myth number one, it's no one uses NHS dentists anymore. Now, that's a myth, as I can say. So, in fact, almost 30 million people, more than half of the population of England, saw an NHS dentist between the years 2009 and 2011. This is an increase of more than a million since March 2006. So, the myth that no one uses NHS dentists anymore, it is a myth. The second myth that I'd like to discuss is the children today have terrible teeth. The dental health of British school children is steadily improving. 6 out of 10 children start school with no tooth decay. But it's important to introduce a good dental health regime as early as possible to the children. The next myth is white teeth are healthier teeth. We may think they look better, but teeth aren't meant to be pure white. You can help keep your teeth as white as possible by brushing regularly with fluoride toothpaste and flossing. Avoid avoiding food and drinks that can stain teeth, such as tea, coffee, and red wine. These will also keep your teeth white. But just having white teeth doesn't mean that they are healthy teeth. Next myth is, I have to see a dentist every 6 months. Now, this is something that you hear everywhere, that you have to see your dentist every 6 months. But however, depending on your dentist will tell you how often you should come in for dental checkup. And if you have a very bad, a very good oral health, this may be more than once every 2 years. So it all dependent on the way you keep track of your dental hygiene. There's also a myth saying that there's fluoride in our water supply. Now, only around 10% of the UK's water supply has enough fluoride in it to benefit your dental health. You can find out if there's fluoride in your water from your water supplier. The next myth is baby toothpaste is better for young children. Some baby toothpastes don't have enough fluoride in them to help prevent tooth decay. Choose a brand that contains at least 1,000 ppm fluoride. Check the packaging to see if it contains enough fluoride. Next myth, only the sugar in sweets, cakes, fizzy drinks, and chocolate is bad for my teeth. While all these foods are bad for your teeth and your general health as well, dried fruits, fruit juice, and honey contain natural sugars that can cause tooth decay as well. So limit the amount of these foods that you eat. Have them in moderation because they do have some good benefits, but don't overindulge on them. The next myth is there's no need to brush milky teeth. Now, even though your child will lose their milk teeth, they still have to be brushed. Establishing good habits early in life helps ensure lifelong dental health. Brush your baby teeth twice daily from the moment their first tooth cuts through. The next myth is I'll need false teeth when I'm older. Now, this may apply to some people, but improvements in dental hygiene mean that more of us keep our natural teeth into old age. In 1968, for instance, 37% of adults had no natural teeth. By 1998, the figure had fallen to 12%. So this is just as a result of advertisement in terms of brushing your teeth regularly and having a good oral health in general. Next myth is bad breath is only caused by not brushing your teeth properly. Now, most cases, up to 90% of halitosis, which is bad breath, are caused by bad oral hygiene. So regular brushing, flossing, eating, drinking healthily, and taking plenty of exercise are the best ways to avoid bad breath. Next, I'll discuss about 10 medical reasons for feeling tired. Now, any serious illness, especially painful ones, can make you tired, but some quite minor illnesses can also leave you feeling washed out. And now I'll discuss 10 health conditions that are known to cause fatigue. Coliac disease is the first one. This is a type of food intolerance where your body reacts badly when you eat gluten, a substance found in bread, cakes, and cereals. 1 in 100 people in the UK are affected, but research suggests that up to 90% of them don't know they have the condition. According to patient group Coliac UK, other symptoms of coliac disease apart from tiredness are diarrhea, anemia, and weight loss. And your GP can check if you have coliac disease through a blood test. But this is one of the reasons why people feel tired. Next reason is anemia. One of the most common medical reasons for feeling constantly run down is iron deficiency anemia. It affects around 1 in 20 men and postmenopausal women, but may have even more common in women who are still having periods. Typically, you'll feel you can't be bothered to do anything, your muscles will feel heavy, and you'll get tired really quickly. So that's another medical reason for feeling tired. Next one is chronic fatigue syndrome. Chronic fatigue syndrome, also known called myalgic encephalomyelitis or ME, is severe and disabling tiredness that goes on for at least 6 months. There are usually other symptoms such as sore throat, muscle or joint pain, and headache. But if you want more information on that, just Google chronic fatigue syndrome and you'll find out more about that. The next medical illness which causes tiredness is sleep apnea. It's a condition where your throat narrows or closes during sleep and repeatedly interrupts your breathing. This results firstly in bad snoring and a drop in your blood's oxygen levels. The difficulty in breathing means that you wake up often in the night and feel exhausted the next day. It's most common in overweight middle-aged men, and drinking alcohol and smoking makes it worse. Number five is underactive thyroid. So an underactive thyroid gland means that you have too little thyroid hormone, thyroxine in your body. This makes you feel tired. You're also likely to put on weight and have aching muscles. It's most common in women and it happens more often as you get older. Now, if you want to know more about underactive thyroid, your GP can diagnose an underactive thyroid by taking a blood test. The next one is diabetes. One of the main symptoms of diabetes, a long-term condition caused by too much sugar in the blood, is feeling very tired. The other key symptoms are feeling very thirsty, going to the toilet a lot, and weight loss. And also, your GP can diagnose this with a blood test if needed. Next is glandular fever. Glandular fever is a common viral infection that causes fatigue, along with fever, sore throat, swollen glands, and most cases happen in teenagers and young adults. Symptoms usually clear up within 4 to 6 weeks, but the fatigue can linger for several more months. Another cause of fatigue, or another cause of tiredness, is depression. As well as making you feel very sad, depression can also make you feel very drained of energy. It can stop you falling asleep or cause you to wake up early in the morning, which makes you feel more tired during the day. Then there's number 9, which is restless legs. This is when you get uncomfortable sensations in your legs, which keep you awake at night. You might have an overwhelming urge to keep moving your legs, a deep ache in your legs, or your legs might jerk spontaneously through the night. Whatever your symptoms, your sleep will be disrupted and of poor quality, so you'll feel very tired throughout the day. And 10, last not least, it's anxiety. So feeling anxious is something perfectly normal. However, some people have constant, uncontrollable feelings of anxiety, which are so strong they affect their daily life. Doctors call this generalized anxiety disorder. It affects around 1 in 20 people in the UK, as well as feeling worried and irritable. People with this disorder often feel tired. So that was 10 reasons for feeling tired as a result of different medical conditions. Now next I'll briefly discuss about smoking and the health benefits of stopping smoking. So stopping smoking obviously has many health benefits, and one of them are, for instance, just bear with me 1 second. So if you stop smoking, there's many different benefits from it. One of them, for instance, if you ditch cigarettes and feel less stressed. So scientific studies show that people's stress levels are lower after they stop smoking. So this was one of the tips in the stress busters. So if you stop smoking, you'll feel less stressed. So that's one of the benefits. Nicotine addiction can make smokers stressed from their withdrawal between cigarettes. The pleasant feeling of satisfying that craving is only temporary and is not a real cure for stress. Also, the improved levels of oxygen in the body means that ex-smokers can concentrate better and have increased mental well-being. Quitting smoking improves smell and taste. Kicking the smoking habit gives you a sense of smell and taste boost, and the body is recovering from being dulled by the hundreds of toxic chemicals found in cigarettes. Also, stopping smoking gives you more energy. So within 2 to 12 weeks of stopping smoking, your circulation improves. This makes all physical activity, including walking and running, much easier. Quitting also boosts your immune system, making it easier to fight off colds and flu. The increase in oxygen in the body makes ex-smokers less tired and less likely to have headaches. Smoke-free homes protect your loved ones as well. So by stopping smoking, by stopping smoking, you'll be protecting the health of your non-smoking friends and family. So passive smoking increases a non-smoker's risk of lung cancer, heart disease, and stroke. So secondhand smoke doubles the risk of children getting chest illnesses, including pneumonia and bronchitis, plus more ear infections, wheezing, and asthma. So they also have 3 times the risk of getting lung cancer in later life compared with children who live with non-smokers. So if you don't want to smoke for the sake of the health benefits for yourself, quit smoking for the sake of the health benefits that it would have for your family and friends. Now next, I'll discuss a little bit about the ways that you could reduce your cancer risk. So far I've talked about stress busters, which you could do to relieve stress. I've talked about the health benefits behind smoking. I've talked about the ways that you could beat insomnia if you have that problem. I've also talked a little bit about the health benefits of stopping smoking and the reasons why some medical conditions which make you feel tired. But finally, I'll discuss about ways you could reduce your cancer risk. Now, you can reduce your cancer risk by having a healthy lifestyle. Find out about stop smoking and eating healthy, keeping fit, and drinking less alcohol. So these are all things which you can do to improve your risk of or reduce your risk of getting cancer. In 2009, 156,900 people in the UK died from cancer. However, since the 1990s, survival rates in men and women have improved for most cancers. This is a result of better technology in terms of diagnosis of cancer, as well as the treatment options available after cancer diagnosis. So there are no proven ways to prevent cancer, I'd just like to note that, but you can reduce your risk of getting it. Risk factors you can do something about include smoking and being overweight, and there are other things you can do as well to reduce your risk of getting cancer. Having a healthy lifestyle, leading a healthy lifestyle can help lower your risk of developing certain cancers. You can do this by eating a healthy, balanced diet, maintaining a healthy weight, drinking less alcohol, stopping smoking, protecting your skin from sun damage. Eating a healthy, balanced diet, for instance, there are stories about various foods and diets linked to preventing cancer in the news. This is because a lot of research is going on into diet and cancer, but it isn't easy to study the link between diet and cancer because there are so many different factors involved and cancer can take years to develop. No single food or supplement can prevent cancer from developing. Overall, research shows a link between eating certain groups of foods rather than any specific foods, vitamins or nutrients, and a reduction in cancer risk. However, you hear a lot of people saying that, oh, there's this food that if you eat it, that you will not get cancer. But cancer is a result of so many different factors. They're just stating that eating one particular food will prevent you from getting cancer ever. It's a bold statement to make. Eating a healthy, balanced diet may lower your risk of developing cancer. A healthy, balanced diet contains plenty of fruits and vegetables, so try to eat at least 5 portions a day, as recommended. Plenty of bread, rice, potatoes, pasta, and other starchy foods. Choose whole grain foods where possible, as these contain more fiber. Have meats, some meat, fish, eggs, beans, and other non-dairy sources of protein. Some milk and dairy foods, and just small amount of foods and drinks high in fat or sugar, such as cakes, crisps, and biscuits, but just a small amount of these. And it's very important to have a balanced diet, as I mentioned. So that is what a balanced diet includes that I just described. Fiber, so there's evidence consistently suggests that eating plenty of fiber can reduce the risk of bowel cancer. Diets high in fiber can help keep your bowel healthy and prevent constipation. Fiber-rich foods include whole grain pasta, bread, breakfast cereals, and rice. Fruit and vegetables are also a good source of fiber. Now, a little bit about red and processed meat. Meat is a good source of protein, vitamins, and minerals such as iron and zinc. But evidence showed that there's probably a link between eating red and processed meat and risk of bowel cancer. People who eat a lot of these meats have a higher risk of getting bowel cancer than people who eat small amounts. Beef and lamb are all red meat, so processed meats include bacon, sausages, salami, and ham. If you eat more than 90 grams of red or processed meat a day, the equivalent of about 3 thin-cut slices of roast beef, lamb, where each slice is about the size of half a piece of sliced bread. It's recommended that you cut down to 70 grams, and you can find out more about these from online sources, online reliable NHS webpage sources if you need to. Beta-carotene supplements. So beta-carotene, often found in antioxidant supplements, has been found to increase the risk of lung cancer developing in smokers and people who have been heavily exposed to asbestos at work. It is possible that taking large amounts of beta-carotene supplements would also increase the risk of cancer in other people. Maintaining a healthy weight, you can achieve this through exercise and a healthy, balanced diet. In England, over 60% of the population is overweight or obese. Being overweight or obese can increase your risk of some cancers, such as bowel cancer, pancreatic cancer, esophageal cancer, breast cancer if you're a woman who has been through the menopause, cancer of the womb, and kidney cancer. Being a healthy weight can reduce your risk of developing cancer. You can find out whether you are a healthy weight by using a BMI calculator to see at what range you fall in. So BMI will give you your body mass index will give you an indication of whether you're within normal health, normal weight, underweight, overweight, or extremely overweight in the obese category. Drinking less alcohol is also known to increase drinking alcohol is known to increase your risk of some cancer. So if you drink lots of alcohol, your chance of having mouth cancers, pharynx and larynx cancers, esophageal cancers, colorectal cancers in men, and breast cancer are increased. So it is probably a cause of other cancers such as colorectal cancers in women and liver cancer as well. Women shouldn't regularly drink more than 2-3 units of alcohol a day, and men shouldn't regularly drink more than 3-4 units a day. And also, stopping smoking. I mentioned the health benefits of smoking previously, but lung cancer is responsible for around a quarter of cancer deaths in the UK, and 90% of lung cancer cases are related to smoking. Stopping smoking greatly cuts the risk of developing cancer. The earlier you stop, the greater the impact, but it's never too late to quit. People who quit smoking at 30 live nearly as long as non-smokers, and those who quit at 50 can still undo half the damage. Also, in terms of the skin cancer, it's very important to protect your skin from sun damage. So taking care in the sun so that you don't get burnt is important for preventing skin cancer. Spend time in the shade between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Make sure you never burn. Cover yourself up with a t-shirt, hat, and sunglasses. Take care not to let your children get burned. Use sunscreen with a sun protection factor of at least 15. Keep an eye on any moles or freckles you have. If they change at all, for example, get bigger or begin bleeding, see your doctor immediately, and this can be an early sign of skin cancer. So the earlier the skin cancer is caught, the easier it is to treat. We need sunlight on our skin so that our bodies can produce vitamin D, which is essential for healthy bones. However, it needs to be a protected way of obtaining that sunlight so you don't damage your skin. Also, it's very important to know your body and recognize any changes such as lumps and or unexplained bleeding, and to get advice about whether they might be serious. So any serious changes that you see within your body and you think that this is not normal, ask for immediate help from your doctor, and maybe they could provide more knowledge in terms of what that could possibly be. It usually will be not something as serious as cancer, but it's better to be of aware of what your body is going through than being in the unaware and just letting it pass by. That, dear friends, covers the show for today. I hope some of these tips have been useful for all of you in terms of either stress relief or insomnia, or what it has helped you in some way to think about stop smoking. That was the show for today, as I mentioned, and I hope you all enjoyed it. And next week we'll be back and talk about a different health-related topic. And we will most likely have a special guest attending during that week. So stay in touch and speak to you next time.